Can you say the letter C?
CNC Hunt Files. Alright, we're going to get right to it this week, run through these sponsors that make the wheels go on the wagon and get into this one. Man, I'm excited for this one. I got a straight up bow hunting killer on this week. I'm excited to dive into it. He's just coming off a great buck kill in Utah, so I'm pumped to get him on. First Grizzly Coolers, code WCB, save you some cash. They are restocked on all their coolers and whatnot. Man, hopefully I'm going to be filling some coolers here in the next 30 to 40 days. I got a couple tags that I'd love to punch in, throw some mule deer and elk in a couple of those grizzlies myself. So hopefully I'm going to be giving those a good workout. Again, WCB, save you a little money. Black Ovis, WCB 10. Man, they've got, I can't say a whole lot, but I've been testing it. They've got a new Merino out for you guys that have loved their stuff from the past. This is even better. Man, I'm struggling. I want to tell you more, but I just can't. Anyways, just keep an eye out for that. It's going to be coming here, I think, in the next week or so. You guys will want to get on that early, as it will go quick for sure. Also, Arrow ID Builder for those guys that need arrows built ASAP that are running behind, or maybe you just need another dozen. Run the Arrow ID on the website, and they'll ship them right to your door. It's a pretty slick system. Most people have arrows turned around in 7 or 8 days, so tough to beat that. Keep an eye on the sister companies, Crispy and Camo Fires. They got a bunch of good deals running right now, too. We got, let's see, who am I forgetting? Oh, Novix Tree Stands for all you whitetail guys. I know everybody's gearing up for antelope and elk and mule deer hunts, but don't slack on the whitetails. Make sure you got stand sticks, straps, all that stuff. I know I just talked to the boys this week. They are in stock and got everything ready for the big kaboom, which will happen in the next 30 days from guys buying stands and sticks and whatnot. So don't slack on that. Get them now before they go and you're on the waiting list. Man, that stuff goes quick. It's like hotcakes over there. As soon as they get stuff built, it's out the doors. Last but not least, shout out to Devin over there at Hunter's Box Club. Man, we got a really cool shirt design. It's CC Hunt Files, limited edition. It'll be in the September box. There's going to be a link in the podcast episode notes. Click that link, get you the first box free, shipped to your door, $29.99 after that. Couple goodies in there with a really cool shirt. Like I said, it's going to be CC Hunt Files specific, so I'm really happy Kurt and Devin put together a really cool design for that. So yeah, man, it's hunting season. I got a straight up killer. I got an OG, from the Salt Lake Front region of the world. I'm heading there tomorrow, so this is perfect because I'm already pumped to get out there, and I'm going to be even more pumped to talk to my man, Matt Bateman, right now about his big buck he just killed. So Matt, welcome on, my man. Pumped to have you on, dude. Pumped to have you on.
Yeah. Thanks, Clint, man. Happy to hop on and excited to visit with you for a minute this morning.
Absolutely, my man. Well, for those that, man, there's a bunch of guys that definitely are going to know you. You're no ghost to the podcast world, and man, you got a great Instagram and whatnot. There's a ton of guys that know you, but for those that don't know you, give us a rundown, man. Who's Matt Bateman? And then we're gonna dive into this buck. I'm itching to. You know me. I'm a mule deer. I live in Ohio, but I'm a mule deer fanatic. And I jumped on Instagram and I saw that, I think you posted an arrow, right? Bloody, what was it? Was an arrow right off the
Yeah, I just posted a picture
little
of
teaser.
My bow and the blood trail, initial, what I saw first when I got down, you know, when I made the shot, and the shot felt good and looked good, but you know, you're always like, for me, that first, I got to get down there to the arrow and the blood trail and I can, I've been on enough animals, man. That's like either the, oh, dude, I got it done, or I got to wait a little, you know what I mean? That moment. So that was the first kind of shot I saw when I got down to the blood trail and knew that everything had gone as I thought it had gone, and my shot was where it was. I at that point, I knew I'd killed the deer. So, but yeah, jumping back, a little bit about me. Like I said, my name's Matt Bateman. I'm born and raised here in Utah. I'm a bow hunting, archery fanatic, and mule deer being absolutely at the top of my list. I've hunted all over the place, and I just come back to just a love and a passion for chasing mule deer. And here in my home state of Utah, it's just really what drives me year in and year out. And I do a lot of other things, but man, just mule deer just get me jacked up. So I'm the national sales. I work in the hunting industry. I'm the sales manager at Grim Reaper Broadheads. I've been there for 15 years, and I've just been blessed to be in the industry and rub shoulders with you know, incredible people. And I love the networking and the people I meet in the hunting world. It's just awesome. But yeah, I'm married, dad of three little kids, and so it's just a balance and a juggling act between being dad and husband and chasing critters and doing my job. And life's busy and crazy, but I love it and wouldn't have it any other way. So that's a little backstory about me. I just absolutely love getting after it and everything about the entire process of being a bow hunter. And you know, I just the older I get, the more I just truly soak it all in and enjoy it, and feel just so blessed for what I have and the success I've had.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, Matt. You know, and I guess it's been, I don't know, it's been maybe eight, 9 years ago, something like that. I was just really getting into building points and mule deer hunting and really kind of fell in love with it. And, you know, Utah was on the radar and really started paying attention to, you know, kind of that state and kind of networking and meeting people that lived out there. And, you know, you and Kip's name come up a lot, you know, and some different podcasts. I know Brian Barney, really good buddy of mine. I know he's good buddies with you guys, and I know he's had you on a couple times. And just, man, I heard you on some podcasts, you know, and I'm just like, gosh dang. And then this guy's just ate up with bow hunting, and I could just tell, you know, I'm like, this guy, I got to follow this guy. So I remember following you, and I've kind of, you know, kept up with what, like, you know, you and Kip are always traveling and always hunting all over the place, you know. And it was it's kind of cool because I started hunting you know, the front and being in that kind of region of the world, you know, and it's kind of like right there, you know, where you guys are at. And it's just, it's, I've hunted enough now. I've got, I think this is my fifth year out there. I personally know how tough that place is, and I know what it takes to get it done. And I've seen the good and the bad and been in the struggles and been in the, you know, been in the trenches on that unit. And to watch guys like yourself consistently get it done on not just a buck, but specific bucks, mature bucks, year in and year out. I mean, it's just, I already had a very deep appreciation for, you know, guys like you and Kip and Devin Leonard. And but then to come out and actually experience it for myself, and I've been fortunate to kill a few good bucks and killed a good bull out there, and I know personally what it takes. I've just been amazed at, you know, the consistency and the success. But on the other side, it's so much work and effort, and I've got to, it's been really cool to, you know, I've got to see that and experience it for myself. So it's just even more of an appreciation. But yeah, I mean, I was super pumped to have you on. And then I saw, I'm flipping through Instagram. I see that arrow and blood trail, and I'm like, oh baby. I'm like, here we go. I'm like, well, that didn't take that long. So yeah, man, I want to dive right into it, because before we even go down the rabbit hole of public land hunting and pressured units and big bucks, I want to, man, we got to talk about this buck you just killed. Because first thing I see whenever you post the photo of the buck, I'm like, look at the trash. There's kickers, there's some junk. I mean, I'm like, oh man, I'm like, Bateman did it again. I'm like, look at this thing. So man, just give me the rundown on the backstory. I'm assuming it's probably a buck you've known, or you found early, and, you know, knowing how you guys are, finding a big deer and kind of sticking with it. So, man, I'm excited to, give you the mic and just take off with it. But give us a rundown on this buck, man. Just a beautiful buck. I was so stoked to see that deer, man.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. like I've said before, you know, there's really no tag anywhere in the world that means more to me than punching my tag on a buck here in Utah on the front, somewhere it's where I learned to bow hunt and the challenges up there that have with the front, with the pressure and yep. with the proximity to the city and with the people and with the drama at times, all of those things, the challenges mentally and physically, and that's what have molded me into really the bow hunter I am, and I take that around anywhere I hunt with me. And so we can get to that later. But as far as this buck, you know, honestly, he's not the buck I was hunting. and
really?
And yeah, he's
that's
not.
Interesting.
And so I a little backstory this year, it's been a bit of a grind. I've been uh-huh. battling a couple little health things and a few weeks, well, about a month ago before the hunt, I all of a sudden had an umbilical hernia pop up. And I've got this mountain goat hunt in British Columbia coming up in two weeks that I've just been, man, I've been pounding it at exercising and prepping for that. And so there was a stretch there. I thought I was going to run in and get emergency surgery. And
oh man,
and I was trying to figure out what I was doing and going to multiple doctors like, man, am I going to be able to hunt? And so for a bit there, I kind of put the effort I always am putting into the front on check a little bit, just because I was trying to, man, if I might, you know, it was a tough thing, but I was thinking I might have to give up, hurry and have surgery and give up Utah and hunt late season kind of thing to try and get on this goat hunt. And after going to multiple doctors, it kind of came down to, look, you're not gonna die.
Right.
You know, it's not to a point, it's just a little umbilical hernia, it's nagging and painful, but it's not to a point where it's a dangerous situation. So we suggest, if you want to get through your hunts and then schedule surgery after, that's probably going to work out. So, man, when I got that green light, like after going to three doctors to hear what I wanted to hear, then it was game on. You know, I started bouncing into the some of the hunts that I hunt and glassing and looking and seeing some solid bucks and you know, knew of some other deer that I knew a lot of guys were after, et cetera. And ended up getting eyes on a couple good mature bucks that I was content with. You know, and I'm not, I don't know how much you know about me, but I'm not necessarily you know, every deer doesn't have to be a giant squirter
right.
to me. I love hunting big, mature
yep.
age class deer, period.
Yep. And same as me. I'm the same way.
And don't get me wrong. Like, everyone wants to go arrow a 220 buck, right?
yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I mean, finding and killing a big 5-6-year-old mature pressured deer, it just doesn't come easy.
Yep.
And it's tough. And I'm thrilled with doing so. So, anyways, after doing my homework and my scouting and, you know, stashing water and gear in a couple spots, Kip had just come off a stone sheep hunt and he had some family matters to attend to. And he doesn't have an early tag up there, right? Early season, and he wasn't going to be able to be up there. So I planned accordingly. I got some gear into an area I wanted to be and enough water to get in there and ride it out, which mm-hmm. is one of the just things we do, you know. And
that's tough on that unit. Water can be such a scarce commodity. I mean, I've learned that the hard way, unfortunately, over there on that unit a couple different times. I'm like, oh man, I didn't pack enough in or had to drop down further than I thought. And I mean, that's a whole nother demon in itself. Just the water, you know, scarce out there at times, you know, for sure.
Yeah. And I like to be able to get in and stay up high and kind of hunt from the top and keep an eye on things and play my game. And to do so, I got to have ample water in there. And the older I get, the less I want to bell in and out trying to get water and that kind of stuff. So I want to expend my energy actually being in the game and chasing the critters. So,
right.
But anyways, I settled on this particular spot this year just, you know, for two reasons. One, I had a couple bucks in there, including this buck that were shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it was just a spot that come from 30 plus years of hunting the Wasatch Front, in an area I wanted to be opening several days. And an area I felt was real conducive to me being solo and those kind of things. So all that played into it. And honestly, the deer I hoped to kill, I had a coulda, shoulda, would have encounter first thing opening morning. And it just didn't happen.
Yep.
And it was one of those ones where I felt it should have, so I was pretty down, you know, Saturday morning after that, and I was pretty frustrated with just myself. And
yeah.
And I took a minute and you know, one of my things I've learned on the front over the years, you got to just be able to shake it off and keep grinding and you're going to run into issues and you're going to run into people and you're going to run into challenges. And, so I shook it off and got back in the game. And I was actually, I spent the next 24 hours looking for that deer. I hadn't blown him hard at all. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was going to be around. And so Sunday afternoon, in the morning it ended and things had all kind of simmered down and I kind of went into a strategy of I wanted to get up on a ridge and class into some bedding spots that I thought that buck might be.
Right.
And so I got to a spot I like to glass from and really a spot I can look down at some gnarly little bedding areas and got settled in with my scope and binoculars and just I was going to ride it out for the afternoon and just pick things apart and see if I could find something in its bed and particularly the buck I wanted to kill. And I caught a couple deer moving under me, just changing beds that mid-morning shift when the sun hits them, when they move a little bit. And, you know, nothing that I wanted to go after. And I had five or six different bucks that I, you know, not with each other, but just all throughout below me that I had eyes on that, and all of a sudden I caught this buck that I ended up shooting. I caught a buck moving bed in this thick little pocket, and he was kind of off separated by himself. I got my scope on and instantly just saw those kickers and you know, he's cool because he just got that heavy mass and that frame and just got some trash and not necessarily built for a scoring deer, but he's just a big heavy old mature buck and instantly it was like, okay, game time. I mean, he's one of my shooters. I went straight into strategy mode here, you know, what's he gonna do, and just focused in on him. He finally kind of settled in and buried himself in a hole and bedded down out completely out of sight. Even from my high angle perspective, he was just buried in this little nasty pocket. So kind of also my routine.
So at this point, you're not able to see him now. So you aren't able to keep eyes on. Oh, okay. See, I'm
completely blind.
Okay.
I'm completely blind. I watched him bed. I cannot see even a piece of his antler. I mean, I picked it apart.
Oh,
with my
okay.
Scope.
That's tough. He's solo. That's real tough because, you know, if you can keep an eye on him, and you've got some, you know, a glasser, obviously, you know, for people that aren't, you know, mule deer hunters or haven't done it or haven't been in the scenario yet solo. I mean, when you're solo, you know, it's one thing to make a game plan. And if you can keep eyes on a buck, it makes it so much easier to be able to see what he's doing. And then you make your moves accordingly. But when you're going in and I've had to kill a couple like this by myself where I know he's in there, but I don't know exactly on the stock. It's a whole nother mentality and a whole nother, you know, movement of slow in a whole nother realm of patience, at least in my mind, because yeah, it's like, well, he should be over there. I hope he's over there. I don't know for sure, you know, because you can't see if he's moved or changed. Right. So, okay. So you're going into this stock now where you know the area he was at, but realistically you don't actually have eyes on him anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 400 yards away and probably close to 1,000 vertical feet above him at this stage.
Yep.
And I watched, I knew he bedded. I watched him disappear, right?
Yep.
I could see part of him, and I watched him crawl into this little thick pocket of crap and disappear, and I knew he'd laid there. So I gave it a while and just picking it apart and making sure he didn't leave that spot. And then the next challenge was I had 5 or 6 other bucks.
Oh, wow.
Within a few hundred yards underneath me and really right in the way of the approach I wanted to take, you know.
Perfect.
Honestly,
sweet.
Where he was, there was no way to, like, literally I was clipped out going one direction.
Yep.
and I had to drop off this steep shell face nasty place, and there was just no, like, perfect way. But
right
after studying it out and letting the deer get in there, settled into their midday beds when the sun was coming up high and it's mm-hmm. getting warm and it's noon, you know, I took a bit of a risk and I had to go across this big open shell face, and I took a bit of a risk doing it, but it was the only way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, I was willing to take that risk. The deer were buried down in their beds and I didn't think they had visual on me. My experience up in that country is knocking a rock loose here and there. It doesn't really bug them. I mean, they're used to rocks tumbling down and they're used
right.
to the mountain goats kicking stuff. Obviously, you can't be blatant about it, but I knew I'd make a little noise getting across this face, but I also felt like there was a high probability that I can get it done and get over to a spot where I was now out of sight and
right.
and in the clear. And so I went for it. I took my time getting across, stopping and glassing, making sure nothing had stood up out of their beds. It was looking at me, that kind of thing, and made it that first sketchy 100 yards mm-hmm. where I could drop down and get into the line of sight. And before I did all this, I snapped a good picture through my spotting scope of where
yep.
a couple real distinct spots where I thought he was laying, because I knew once I got down there from the angle I wanted to come in above him, I knew it was going to look so different. And so I got down and my goal is always to try and get to that 120 yard, you know, that safe zone that I can get to super easy most of the time.
Right.
And I stop and I sit down and I take my boots off and put on my stocking. I wear some leather stockings a buddy of mine makes, and it's just kind of a stop and get focused and get prepared for that.
Yep.
The mental aspect of that last red zone approach, especially going in blind, not knowing exactly,
right.
not having eyes on him and not having a spotter, all those things, like it was going to be super slow, super tedious. So, you know, I sat down and got myself mentally there, prepared, got real hydrated, ate a little snack. Like there was no need to rush.
Right. Yeah.
I just,
no rush.
So got myself in that zone. I picked out a line, a landmark, a tree that I wanted to, that was my angle to get to that tree and then angle in. And so then from there, it just was super, super tedious, super slow.
Now, do you always stock with your boots off, or is that situational? Or I mean, I know
situational.
Yep. Yep. Me too.
If I have time and it was quiet, as far as there wasn't much wind,
right.
I was in some noisy stuff and it was one of those situations where it was vital.
Yeah.
You know, to take it to another level of flow and also being completely blind to the deer and
right.
what he was doing, and even if he was still there and if he'd got up and moved closer, like
right.
all those things, like it just different than having a visual or having a spotter, and you play it different. So it's situational, but in this situation it totally fit to do that. So I slipped in closer I got, the slower I went, because I did, man, it was like move a few inches and glass to see if I could pick him out, because
right.
I didn't have a visual. It was tough. So long story short, I mean, I took my time, and when there was a little breeze come through, I made my move, you know, just trying to,
yep.
Because I knew he would, well, I didn't know he was there. That's the hard part. I hoped he was still there.
Right, right.
And so, anyways, I got to where I, from my picture, I kept referencing on my phone through my scope to my landmarks, to everything. I got to where I sure thought, or I was confident I was 60 yards from mm-hmm. where I saw him lay down in this little pile of stuff. And I, you know, just looking around in my situation, I thought, oh, I just got to wait it out.
Right.
So ended up being a 4-hour grind sitting on what I hoped was a deer in
yep.
his bed.
Oh, yeah.
Zero visual. And I'll tell you, I mean, as much experience as I have and as many times as I've been in these situations, it was tough.
Yeah.
Like not wanting, not fighting back the urge to try and get closer and
yep.
fighting back the urge to throw something down there and all these things. So, but experience won out on this one. I just thought, you know, it was still midday and I felt like the thermals were going to stay good for me for a while. Which doesn't, you know, at some point they're going to change in the evening and they're going to shift and I'm going to get blown up
right.
wind-wise. But I felt like I had a couple hours anyways, hopefully of the thermal staying good for me. And I was in a good position and I got to where I was comfortable making a shot. And I felt like the best thing to do at that point was wait him out. It was just a good old fashioned standoff and I was going to be patient and, you know, and sitting there for 4 hours, staying zoned in and ready, arrow knocked and you know, it's hard. It's a hard thing to do.
Oh,
but
yeah.
And I think that's where a ton of mistakes are made. People get antsy and, you know,
yep.
you know, finally caving in that he's not there anymore. He'd slipped out, et cetera. But I just kept telling myself, man, if you get aggressive and blown out, you're going to be ticked at yourself. You know better. So I wrote it out. Finally, oh God, about 5 o'clock. It was almost 5 and I was starting to get a little worried about the thermals and it was starting to build some thunderstorms. And I actually, one of the challenges up front, I saw another hunter like 400 or 500 yards away working up the drainage and I'm sitting there thinking something's gonna go down sooner than later but all of a sudden I see a piece of antler stand up right, I mean it couldn't have been pinpointed more where I thought he was, and such a good feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Still there and so I see a piece of antler stand up and kind of turn and just totally relaxed. He wasn't spooked. He was just getting up. And I said, at this point, I just could see bits and pieces of his head and his antler. And so I'm actually standing at this point. I watched, I knew when he looked away from me, I stood and I was in the shadow of this tree and it was in a really good spot. And so I'm standing up and I'm trying to get ranges, but trying to range down through that stuff. I'm getting 10 different readings and
oh, yeah.
just was going to be patient on it. But he finally moved a little bit and I could see his head and his neck completely clear through a little window. And I got a really good range on him, 57 yards, shoot for 50 with the cut. And so I had a little window there and he stepped forward. I think he was just going to move beds and re-bed actually. And he stepped forward a little bit and actually just opened up a great window to the vital zone for me. And he was looking away. Everything was perfect. I got drawn and took my time, settled in and executed a good shot. Everything looked good, sounding good. He jumped and crashed off the hill. And at that time, you know, that adrenaline rush kind of
oh yeah
takes over. And so I just sat down and soaked it in. I mean, I did for a minute and I hiked back to my pack and got my stuff and took my time and went down. And the second I got down to where I shot and saw that initial blood trail, I the relief hit me that, man, I'd done everything I needed to do, and it was game over. So just an awesome – what was fun about it is just one of the – when you think about a solo stalk and
yep.
and doing your part, and it doesn't always go down that way and things going right, it was just such an awesome day and feeling, and everything went down kind of how you dream it up. So yeah, dude, I got to him, was super stoked, and you know, all alone the work began, but awesome day on the mountain, super blessed and humbled to be able to punch my tag and get it done.
Oh man, that's awesome. Yeah, that's I thought I had read on one of the posts, you know, you were solo and stuff, and I know, you know, you and Kip hunt together a lot, and you guys have a lot of success together, and I want to get into that because I think that's so important when it comes to a good hunting buddy and being a good hunting buddy and stuff. But that's what, in my mind, I'm like, man, that's going to be a cool one, because yeah, the solo ones, they're so, it's just it's a totally different kind of feeling when you get it done solo, because I mean, there is nobody to bounce any idea off of. There's nobody to, you know, hey, can you see him? I lost him. You know, can you help me find? I mean, it's everything's on you. Every decision you make, good or bad, ugly, you know, however it pans out, it's all on, you know, it was all on Matt there that morning, you right. know, and that day. I mean, that was all, you know, there was no help. It was 100%. Hey, here's my plan. This is what I'm going to do. And you executed it. You got your shot, opportunity. Make a great shot. You know, just the whole deal is filled with this checklist of, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to, you know, hopefully he's here. Hopefully I kill him here. You know, and you got to have all the stars align, and then you got to do your part and make this shot at 57 and get him killed. And it's just, man, when that all comes together, those moments are hard. I mean, they're tough to come by.
It's,
you know,
special.
There's, oh,
yeah.
100%.
It's special, man. They're for anyone that's done it, like, you know, looking back, all the things that had to work out,
right,
and all the decisions that had to be made,
yep.
like, and it's all square on you, and you're relying on, you know, your knowledge and your experience,
yep.
and you're being able to adapt to the situations. It's just such a rewarding moment, and a proud moment, man.
Absolutely.
Just one of those ones that he's not my biggest buck, but he's going to be a real special buck to me forever because
for sure.
of that, you know?
Yeah, no, I think I saw someone, or maybe it was you, call him the hernia buck. I like
yeah.
that. Yeah, that was great.
The few guys that know, because it's funny, leading into the hunt, I told Kip, I'm like, well, I think it'd be fitting if I just go find a nice buck with a couple little extra kickers, and I'm going to call him hernia buck. I'm like, because I got this hernia going on. And if you look at any of the pack out pictures,
mm-hmm.
I'm rocking this sweet hernia belt that's holding me together. So if you go look close, you'll see this hernia belt that I got
right.
wrapped around my gut that's got a pad that's just, you know, and it was uncomfortable and kicked my butt by the time I hauled the first
oh,
load
sure.
up over by myself. But again, all of that just plays into why this is an accomplishment to me to go up in there by myself, fighting some physical challenges on top of everything else and get it done. I mean, it just, you know, a lot of people don't know the grind and how
right.
much work and effort is and the backstory and some of those things going on. And that's fine. I'm not looking for, oh, that's awesome. I'm just,
right.
for me, it's so rewarding.
Yep.
For so many reasons. And that's one of them. That's one I'll look back at and say, yeah, I had a pretty painful hernia going on, and I grinded it out. I went in and did it. So it just makes it that much more rewarding, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure Kip was stoked to get that phone call.
As soon as I got service, I called him, and I was breaking up, and me and him couldn't. And he told me later he was outside cheering, and he was actually shooting his bow at his house. And his wife was like, "What are you just shooting really good, or what's going on?" He's like, "No, Matt killed a buck."
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, that's the fun part. Like, you know, just sharing that with him. And dude, he dropped everything. I got the deer taken care of and quartered and some pictures taken, and then I loaded up what I could. Mm-hmm. I had a hump over the top into my camp. And so I loaded a couple, I loaded a hind quarter and the back straps and the loins and my gear, and I made a pretty hefty haul up over the top. And Kip just messaged me even before I recovered the deer. He messaged me and said, "Dude, I will be at your camp in the morning." And he was that confident that I'd got it done. And I said, "Well, you know, I'll let you know when I find him." But he just said, "Just plan on me being at your tent." And so that's just awesome to have a guy you can rely on like that, and a good friend. And it was so fun to have him just roll into my, you know, he had to leave his house at 2 or 3 a.m. and to have him roll into my camp first thing in the morning and give me a big hug, and me and him just sit and share the story and catch up on it, and then hike in and get that buck out and take some pictures. I mean, that dude is just awesome. Just awesome to have a friend and a hunting partner like that you know, is just as excited as you are to get it done.
No, absolutely. And I want to talk about that, because I think that's something that, you know, it's just something to be said. I mean, you know, I'm blessed to have some really good hunting partners and guys that, you know, that I team up with. And Devin and I have done a lot of hunting together, Devin Leonard, in the last few years. And you know, we've been on a lot of hunts together.
Can you find a better hunting partner?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, and it's funny, like, we met on the mountain a couple years ago, and he needed a phone charger, and I traded him a phone charger for some coffee, and we're glassing. We were actually glassing the same big buck, and got to bullshitting, and end up spending a whole day camped out on this buck. And next thing I know, you know, here we are. I mean, and we've been on, I don't know, 10 or 11 trips together since then. And, you know, but it's, man, it's, you know, to be a good hunting partner and to have a good hunting partner, you know, to go hand in hand and play both roles. I mean, I talk about that a lot, because it really is. It's a game changer. And I don't know any two guys that consistently have been as successful on big mature critters like you and Kip. So give me a little bit of a rundown. I mean, do you even have an idea how many, like, bucks, bulls, et cetera, you two have honestly killed together? Because, I mean, you guys have got the two-man system down. I mean, it's I've heard you know, I've got to listen to you guys talk about it on some other podcasts and stuff, and it just, I've always said, man, like, if you can find a partner and have that connection that you guys have, I feel like you guys probably almost already know each other's move before the other guy even makes it, but you guys are always batting for each other, and it just, I honestly think that's why there's so much success between the two of you. I mean, because you guys are just always looking for, you know, well, how can I help my buddy out? How can I, you know, I mean, and I know that plays into success, and you guys are just really good at playing, you know, playing that two-man game. I mean, whether it's guy's glassing, the other guy goes on a stalk, or you're both going on a stalk, one's on the escape route, one guy's making the stalk, but the other guy's keeping eyes on the buck. You know, I mean, there's so much to be said about just being a good hunting partner and having a good hunting partner. And, you know, everybody wants to be the guy that has a buddy helping them, but man, there's not as many guys that wants to return that favor, and you two, I don't know any pair that returns the favor more. I mean, I feel like you're as excited for him and vice versa as he is you, you know, whatever you guys kill and punch a tag. But just give people kind of the rundown on that, because, man, I think there's something to be said for two guys that have done it as long as you two have and really perfected that art. I mean, it's I would not want to be a big buck or a big bull that you guys have targeted, because I mean, with both of you two up there, it's not looking good. I mean, it really, and I'm sure there's some bucks that slip through the cracks and they do, you know,
we won't get into that.
Right.
We're not going to get into that. We're just going to go with the success.
Theory, right. You know? But man, there's a lot that you guys have got killed.
It's just flat out awesome, honestly. A little backstory. I mean, Kip and I, we met. He sent me. So in 2007, Kip killed Superman, which is one of the biggest deer ever killed with a bow.
Yep.
Up there, giant deer.
Oh yeah.
And
just freak of a buck.
me and Kip didn't know each other from Adam, and he sent me a picture at Grim Reaper Broadheads because he'd killed it with one of our broadheads.
Right.
And it was just, I messaged him back, obviously. I'm like, dude, what a giant deer. Congratulations. Me and him got going back and forth. I sent him a picture of a big late season deer I'd killed the year before, and we just started talking, and
yep.
And it was just one of those deals. He said, let's hook up and grab lunch one day and share some stories. And then we, you know, at first we tiptoed into it. It was like, well, you know, we talked about, he offered to come up and help me. I didn't really know him. He offered to come up and help me late season. He punched his tag, and I was kind of like, nah, I don't know if I want to bring this guy into my spot.
Right,
you know?
right.
It was really, and I didn't. You know, I was sending him pictures and telling him what was going on. He's like, dude, if you need me to come up and help, I'll come up. And he was just looking, and I didn't. And then the next year, we started doing a little scouting together, and this was 2008. And anyways, long story short, I ended up killing he didn't have a tag. He had, what was it? I think he was on his third year of his dedicated, and he's already killed two bucks.
Right.
And so he didn't have a tag, but the dude was up there pounding it with me, spotting and trying to help me. And I'm like, who is this guy?
Right.
Like, he just, and I ended up killing a big, pretty 32 inch typical buck. And really, he was a giant part of that. And after that, man, it was just, you know, full steam ahead.
Yep.
Both of us just, and we just, you know, outside of the hunting world, we became best of friends and
right.
and super tight. And
that's
and
awesome.
Through some real, real tough challenges with our, we both lost close loved ones, and we've been through some hard stuff together.
Yep.
And we're just,
yep.
you know, it just turned into this relationship, this, as his sister calls it, this bromance.
That's funny.
Good friends. And, but honestly, it's been pretty wild. I mean, we've hunted together for 15 years, and I'd have to go count for sure, but I think we've taken close to 30 mule deer together.
If I would have had to have guessed, I would have said it has to be 25 plus. So I feel pretty.
Is.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, off the top of my head,
you throw in whitetail and elk, and you know we're probably over 50 mature animals
yep.
together in 15
that's
years.
That's awesome. Man, that's awesome.
And it's just, and not every one of them are we, not every one of them are like this deer. We're not, Kip wasn't there when I shot this buck, but Kip was there.
Oh yeah, and absolutely.
You know, yep. that's, we both just, you know, whether we're there or not, it's, we're bouncing ideas. And like I, you know, if you went back and read my text thread sitting there, dude, I just spotted a buck with three kickers. Here's my play, you know, like it's just, he wasn't there on the mountain, but we were bouncing it off each other. And so it's just a lot of fun. It's been a whirlwind of success, and we've traveled on some really cool hunts. I mean, I guess maybe even more animals than that. Cause I forget we've gone and killed caribou and moose and bears and different things.
Yep.
So it's north of 50 critters for sure. And it's been a whirlwind of just a lot of fun. It's fun to have someone like that you can count on and rely on, and has the same passion,
right?
And unselfishness that's hard to find. I mean, it's really is tough to find someone that like genuinely like I've hunted with guys over the years, and ultimately, if you're consistently punching your tag, guys get jealous and things,
oh, yeah.
you know, and. And it can be tricky, and it's usually a fight with Kip and I, like who gets to go after that deer, but no, bro, you're going. I'm in a spot. You're gonna go. It's usually a fight that direction rather than. And every once in a while, we'll just flip a coin, or
yep.
We have this fun little deal going on that you know, whoever kills the other guy's got his gut has to gut his deer for him. And you know, I mean, we just play around and have a good time, but I think that's part of our success is it's fun and it's relaxing
yep.
and it's, we both are willing to just pound it and give it our all, but also we keep it light. We keep each other's spirits up. We both have a mentality of just try, 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 try. And, And we know that that'll equate to being successful, and we're both willing to work just as hard for the other as for ourselves. And it's been a blessing, and it's turned into, I mean, the results don't lie. It's proven to be super successful to be able to hunt that way with somebody. You know, we're both really experienced, good hunters, but you throw us together as a team and it's look out, you know, I mean, and that's absolutely. Not being arrogant.
No,
it's just confident. Being confident that, hey, we earn it, and
yep.
we're dedicated to it. And some years we both have different levels of ability to go get after it, but it's always a combined effort together to help each other be successful. So it's a lot of fun.
No, absolutely. I can remember two years ago, I didn't draw an early tag. So I was just, I didn't have a front tag, and Devin did. And, I was just going to pretty much come out and hunt the rut on the extended, and he had found a really good buck, you know, and I said, well, hey man, I'll fly out for 4 or 5 days before I go to Colorado solo and try to, see if I can help you. And he kind of laughed. And, this is just kind of in the very beginning of us doing a lot of hunting together. And I said, no, seriously. I said, I'll come out. And he's like, you don't even have a tag. I said, I don't care. I said, I'll run the glass and, you know, hopefully we get on a buck and et cetera. And so I flew out, you know, and I can remember him saying, he's like, when you first told me that, I thought, man, Clint ain't coming from Ohio clear out here just to frickin' go glass for me for 5 days. And he goes, I couldn't believe it. He goes, you sent me the flight confirmation. I thought, holy shit, he is coming out. But I mean, it's twofold. I mean, you know, 2 years ago or then the following fall, I killed a really good buck during the rut. And, you know, we were on that buck for 5 or 6 hours, and Devin was behind the glass and he's helping me on the stock as far as hand signals. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's, you know, it all comes twofold. I mean, he took off work that day, you know, I found the buck the day before. I'm like, man, I could really use you. And he's like, oh yeah, dude, I'll, you know, let's go make it happen. And man, we got that buck killed, and he was a huge reason. Like, I don't think I could have probably have done it, by myself. It would have just, gosh, I would have needed so much luck. You know, it would have been really, really, really tough to kill him where I killed him. And he was with a hot doe and just not knowing what she was going to do. And yeah, I mean, he was such a vital part to that. So it all comes twofold. And it's just, man, you know, it's just so much fun. I remember I was in a tree stand back in Ohio last year when he killed the barnacle buck. And, I mean, I totally ruined my hunt. It's like 5 o'clock prime time, and he calls me, and I seen the call coming, and I knew he was on the mountain. And, you know, I had found that buck right off the rip the first day of season last year, right, in Utah, but Devin hadn't found a buck that was, you know, Devin, it's cool with Devin and I, cause I'm still at the, I haven't killed enough mule deer to where I'm going to let a mature 160, 170 buck walk by. I'm just not. I mean, that's just, I'll shoot those deer every day, twice on Sunday, and be super pumped about it. Whereas Devin, sure, if it's, you know, Devin's looking for the biggest buck on the mountain. So I found that the barnacle buck, and I called him right away. I'm like, dude, I'm like, he was helping one of his buddies on an elk hunt, Taylor. And I'm like, you got to get over here. So long story short, I didn't go to Colorado last year and stayed, in Utah and hunted with him for like, I think I spent 21 days with Devin and Martin hunting the barnacle buck, trying to help get that deer killed. I go back home to hunt whitetails, and he calls, and I see he's calling. I'm like, why would he be calling me right now? I'm like, I know he's on the mountain. And I'm like, oh shit, maybe. I answer, and he's yelling and screaming. And I remember standing up in my whitetail stand here in Ohio, and I'm just losing my mind. I'm yelling and screaming, like, I didn't even care. I didn't care. I blew every deer out of the county up, but I was so pumped, you know. And it's, I know that's how you and Kip are. And it's just, man, it's cool to see, you know, Brian Barney and Dan Heverin. I've hunted with both those guys a lot, and they're the same way. Like, those two are so excited for the other one to go on the stock, for the other one to get a buck, for the other one to kill a bull. I mean, it's just cool to see pairs like that, and guys that, like you said, genuinely are excited, if not more excited, for the other guy than they are themselves. Man, I love to see that. It's awesome to see guys that are like that, because there's you know, it's tough. It's tough to find
yeah.
a really good hunting buddy, and then somebody that you're like best friends with outside of the hunting, and you're, you know, you're just really connected with, and you talk to a lot. And yeah, man, that's just, that's really cool. It's cool to hear the backstory between, I've never heard the backstory between you and Kip, and I got to get him on a podcast at some point too. But that's really cool that, you guys have connected like that and whatnot. And yeah, man, that's awesome. It makes me, like I said, yeah. makes me think of, you know, like Devin and I, or Brian and Dan, and just kind of the same, similar stories, you know?
Yeah, you sure. It makes you appreciate it.
It really does.
And like I said, it all comes twofold, you know, I mean, and that's part of the fun. We're both at a stage in bow hunting careers that are just in our lives that we don't, neither one of us feel like we need to prove anything.
Right.
Or it's not
right.
necessarily just, you know, that's not, I don't, and I can't say it was not always that way, you know.
Right.
But we don't feel, you don't feel that pressure that you just,
yeah.
You can just enjoy the process, and it helps you be completely content and happy for the other guy. Of course, I don't want to punch my tag, but man,
right.
I'm just as ecstatic for him. And there's been times where I remember one instance where he was on the mountain and he was texting me, and I'm at work, and he was on this buck, and he needed a hand, and he'd lost his rangefinder and this and that. And finally I'm like, you know what, screw it. I told work, I said, I'm leaving, you know, and I had my stuff in my truck. And so this was late season, and I ended up, my intention was to get up there and take the rangefinder to Kip and go up and help him kill this deer. Well, hiking in up to him and getting eyes on him and this buck, et cetera, long story short, he ended up bumping the deer to me, and I killed it.
That's crazy.
Because I got up there to this situation, and he had missed this buck because he didn't have a rangefinder,
mm-hmm.
and he had lost it, like, stalking. And he was like, man, from where I'm at, he's like, why don't you hike across the drainage, and I'm gonna try and get down through this brush,
right.
but there's no way I'm going to get a shot. So going up to help him, all of a sudden I find myself set up, and all of a sudden I have this deer in my lap at 26 yards. And
oh,
shoot it.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, well, I'm like, thanks, bro. You know, here's your rangefinder. And it just, you know, but it was just fun. Just those, it just, when you're willing to go help and be like that about it. I mean,
absolutely.
Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes
yep.
it goes his way. It doesn't matter. He was just,
yep.
We joke about it, but it's, you know, he gives me a hard time. Sure, you're going to hike up here and bring me a rangefinder
right.
and come shoot my deer.
Come shoot the buck, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, that's funny.
It's fun. You know, it's that's the kind of stuff that you just realize, look, you're having fun doing it. You're in it to help each other, and you're, you know, I'm just, I'll say this, I don't, you know, I've seen too much, like even running into other guys and stuff.
Yep.
There's no need to be a jerk and not be a good guy and not
right.
help others. Like, if you get an opportunity to do it, help somebody out or
yep.
encourage somebody, do it. I mean, it's that's one of the things that used to frustrate me about the front, but now I've learned to mentally just accept the fact that,
yep.
hey, there's going to be a lot of people and there's pressure. And
absolutely.
I had a 230 inch buck blown out from underneath me that I'd sat on for half a day from a young hunter that just lost his mind and didn't know. And my initial thought was, I'm going to get ticked at this kid. And then I thought, you know what? Like, he saw a giant deer and got excited and tried to kill it.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
How can I get mad at that?
I was going to say, hard to blame. I mean,
you know,
younger Matt or
up,
younger
like,
Clint would have
yeah.
done that.
Yeah, when he stood up, or when I stood up and he saw me there, his face went kind of white. And he was just like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were here. And I was just like, yeah. At first I was, you know, I was worked up because I had Kip in the spotter. And I mean, literally a 230-inch deer. And I ended up walking out with that kid. And just trying to give him some pointers on, yeah, you know what? Here's maybe what you could have tried instead of,
right?
You know, and he was super grateful and super cool, and but yeah, it's fun, But that's one of the parts of hunting a public pressured place is you got to be mentally prepared to be able to adjust and deal with that kind of thing and get yourself back in the game and just keep grinding and do your part. You can't control everything else. You got to do right. what you can. And then you find success. I mean, you just keep grinding and play the game. But there's a lot of value in just trying to be a good guy and helpful and happy for other hunters and eliminate that mental. I used to just get ate up.
Oh yeah.
Who else is hunting my deer?
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And it'll ruin it for you. It takes your head out of the game. It'll ruin it for you. And you got to be able to let that go and just be able to go have fun and hunt hard and do your thing and in the end, man, you find success doing it. So.
Absolutely. Now, what would you say, Matt? I mean, from hunting, I mean, in my opinion, the front is probably, in my opinion, and I'm sure you probably agree, one of the hardest, if not the hardest places to kill a mature buck or a mature bull. I mean, what do you think's been the biggest thing you've learned over, I think you said 30 plus years of bow hunting out there? And it doesn't even have to be mule deer specific, could be even bulls too, but whatever route you want to go with it, that's fine. But what would be your biggest takeaway or what has it really taught you, I guess, bow hunting wise about, you know, yourself or something that it's like, you know, you don't know if you would have maybe learned those lessons anywhere else. I'm sure pressure probably is one of them because there is so much pressure and just dealing with it. But what's that kind of given you over 30 years? I mean, if you had to kind of pinpoint down a few key factors that lead to success now that unit and that kind of hunting style that you have over there has really helped you all over the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple for me. And I've said this before. I killed my first buck on the Wasatch Front in 1993. And that dates me pretty old. And that I'd hunted it for years before that, but I killed my first buck in 1993 up there. And honestly, the one thing that the front's taught me, aside from the physical difficulty of the gnarly terrain, et cetera, is being able to overcome, challenges and I guess be able to just move on from bad things happening and challenging mm-hmm. things happen and get my head back in the game and keep grinding and learn that when you grind it out, ultimately good things happen.
Yep.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone in hunting with guys or I've gone in hunting by myself and watch as everyone else leaves because of, oh, there's too many guys, or everything's bedded up, or it's just the conditions suck, and I've grinded it out and punched my tag that day, or whatever, time and time again. And so I take that with me anywhere I hunt.
Yep.
Being able to be resilient and adapt and stick it out, and just, you know, if conditions suck or are brutal or are tough, that just grinding it out and keeping yourself mentally focused and in the game. And, you know, I can go 6 days without seeing a deer and I'll still sit every hour. You know, when I go whitetail, I can go to Illinois and I can sit in a stand 12 hour sits from dark to dark and not see a deer. And mentally I'm tough enough. I think a lot related back to hunting the front and grinding it out. That I grind it out and day seven, all of a sudden I shoot a buck and it's given me a mental toughness, I think, to be able to grind and deal with challenges and still be able to maintain a good attitude, a positive attitude and hunt hard and stay focused. That's what the front's given me. It's given me a degree of mental toughness.
Yep.
And also there's no place for me like the front, being local and being here where it's a 4-month season.
Oh, yeah.
That 4-month season You know, some years I punch a tag first weekend, but other years it's a grind, and I'm hunting and I'm going and I'm adapting to different hunt conditions and the animals changing their patterns and on and on and on. It's a grind. So absolutely, without a doubt, the fronts gave me a mental toughness to deal with adversity, to deal with challenges, to deal with all of these things and keep focused and keep grinding. And then at the end, see that so often, not every year, but so often, just that grind of putting myself there in a good position and hunting hard equates to success, and taking that mindset anywhere I go hunting, that I'm going to go grind regardless of situation, regardless right. of conditions, day in and day out. And at the end, if I grind and I don't punch a tag, that's fine. I can live with that. I'm content with that. But the front's given me that, man. It really has.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. I mean, and I've hunted there enough to where, you know, what you're saying, it's spot on. I mean, it is. It's one of the toughest places out there to hunt. And it's more than just physical. I mean, the mental side of it, you know, just pounding the hills day after day, and you're dealing with pressure and dealing with people and I definitely look back on when I'm on other hunts, turkey hunts or elk hunts, or I'm whitetail hunting. You know, last year I had to hunt 76 days here in Ohio to kill my buck, and finally got him killed late in January, you know, on a super, super cold day. And I mean, the mental toughness that, you know, hunting places like the front, like you said, that it's given me, you know, it doesn't make some of these other times feel so tough or feel so bad. And yeah, it's spot on. I couldn't agree with you more. Speaking of whitetails, I think it's, you know, I never realized you and Kip hunted whitetails so much and really loved that. In the last couple minutes here before we wrap this up, give me your take. So everyone always asks me, like, I'm obsessed with mule deer, and I never thought there was another animal to hunt besides a big whitetail until I started going west 12 years ago and realized what antelope, elk, and mule deer were, especially mule deer. And now I'm like so ate up with mule deer and bulls and stuff. I still love whitetails, but I'm taking mule deer over whitetails any day of the week. And people back here are like, "What? That's crazy!" But so give me your. I tell everybody back here, like, I get bored now sitting in stands. It's so hard for me to sit all day or to, you know, and I used to be that guy that would run 17, 18 all day sits in November and just pound. And I still will do that if I have to. I think I hunted 14 or 15 last year trying to kill this buck. But it's harder because I love the spot and stock and glass game. So I'm really interested. I had Brian Barney come out here 1 year. And it was super hard. He's like, dude, that's one of the hardest things I've ever done, is to just not get down and go stalk, because it's just not conducive here. There's so many oak leaves and briars. It's not a spot and stalk game out here. And if you blow 3 deer out, they take the other 20 up the draw with them, and the whole gig is just blown up for the next 2 days. So it's just not that type of a game here.
Right.
In Ohio or even in the Midwest, like Illinois, where you guys are at. But give me your perspective. So, you know, you're this mule deer junkie. You love to play the spot and stock glass game. Then you come and hunt whitetails and tree stands in Illinois. And, like, what's that like for you, man? Because, you know, I'm on the other side. I come from that world and go out west. So now it is so hard for me. Like, is it a relief for you to sit in a stand? Like, are you kind of like, man, this is cool, I like this? Or is it hard for you like it was for Brian? Because he's like, dude, he's like, I don't know how you do it. He's like, Clint, I don't know how you do it, man. He's like, this is so hard to just sit in this little 20 by 20 inch square up in a tree. He's like, I just want to get down and go.
Yeah, no, that's kind of funny, because we've joked about that, you know, and same thing. When I first, this all came back to when Kip and I very first started hunting together, I being in the archery hunting industry, I had a lot of connections and a lot of contacts, and I had a good friend that helped me at ATA show every year that lived in there in Illinois, Indiana area. And for a few years, me and him kind of were like, hey, he wanted to hunt a mule deer. And I was like, oh, it'd be kind of fun to hunt a whitetail. And the long story short, we felled each other out for several years. And finally, he's like, dude, you should come out this year and hunt whitetail. I'm like, oh, well, all right. You know, and I was pretty hesitant. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I don't, if you want to get a tag and come out and hunt mule deer. So he came out, and it was a guy, a friend of mine, and he came out and hunted deer with Kip and I, mm-hmm. and it about killed it. I mean, I like the terrain and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
he
said elevation.
He was prepping, and he came out and about died. I hiked him into a spot, and he got so trashed from the hike in, I don't think he moved for 4 days, like literally out of his tent, you know?
Yeah.
And it killed him. And but anyways, Kip ended up hiking in, and Kip had never met him, and we helped him, and so he invited Kip and I. He's like, you got to bring Kip too, you know. He helped a bunch. And he didn't kill a deer in Utah, but he just fell in love with Kip and invited us out. So that's how it started. This was like 2009, and Kip and I went out and hunted with him. It was funny, like same thing. It was just. It sucks sitting in a stand for that long.
So different.
Not being able to stalk anything.
Yeah.
And these guys out there were laughing at Kip and I. Like, Kip, you know, Kip shot a little buck his first sit in Illinois or something, and it was like came by and like 60 yards, and he shot it, and they're like, "You did what?" You know, and it was just, so there was this degree of. The guys out there thought it was, you know, shooting that far was impossible.
Right,
and
right.
We thought that sitting in a tree stand all day was like the worst torture on
right,
the planet.
Yeah.
But
that's funny.
But, and there was even a couple times where, like I remember one time Kip got down out of a stand and went after a buck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you did
yeah.
What?
Yeah. So,
you
I know? Mean, sometimes like, that'll work.
Whole, you're going to blow up the whole woods and this and that. And it was just funny that
yeah.
whole dynamic. And but after that, we just built some good friends out there, and it turned into this, man, it's a different kind of hunt. It's
right.
a lot of fun. We go
yep.
out there every year. It's kind of a wind down of our season. We've been pounding it in the mountains. It's kind of fun to go chill and relax and sit in a stand, even though it's hard to sit there all day. And we have our friends out there, and we go have dinner, and we have one of our good friends, mom, that cooks us a pie every night. And we just, it's just turned into a real fun social trip, but we pound it hard and sit the stands, but it's a grind. Like, I cannot say that I enjoy sitting a tree stand all day, but I do
right.
love whitetail hunting.
Yeah.
And I do love whitetail, and I do love being in the hardwoods. And you know, we usually go out for a week in November and
yep.
try and time it, and sometimes we hit it and sometimes we don't. But,
yep.
but yeah, it's one of the hardest things there is mentally to sit there all day and physically. Like, I get antsy and I'm up in the tree, like, you know, I see a deer across the cornfield, and I think I instantly start thinking,
oh, yeah.
I wonder if I could flip around.
Yeah,
and,
how can I stalk him?
You know, from the point of that, from the point of those woods over there to where that deer's in the field, that's only 60 yards. You know, I can make that shot. You know, and I start, and then I'm like, Billy, our friend that we have, the little lease and stuff out there, well, Billy will kill me if I go blow up that woods over there trying
yeah.
to stalk this deer. It's just kind of funny, you know? So we have a blast doing it.
Right.
It's a totally different style of hunt. But it's a lot of fun, and it has its own challenges as far as, you know, grinding it out and sitting all day and all those good things that come along with whitetail hunting in the Midwest. So, but yeah, it's that's how it all came about, and that's kind of the backstory. But absolutely, I'm with Brian Barney. That sitting in a tree stand all day is one of the. I'd rather go climb 2,000 feet and
yep.
and sit on a knob and try and go after something. But it's just a fun wind down to our season every year.
Right. No, that's awesome. Yeah, I had to pick your brain and get your take on that before we wrap things up. That I was, I figured that's probably how you were going to look at it, but I wasn't sure. But man, and I tell you what, you guys have killed some slammer whiteys. I mean, you guys have really, really put the hammer down on some good ones over the years. I was, looking at some of them. Oh, I don't know. It wasn't that long ago. I was on one of your guys' Instagrams, and I guess I always kind of forget how many, you know, you guys have killed some daggone good whitetails and quite a few of them.
Yeah.
You guys have been, that's a heck of a leash you guys have for sure. You guys are able to get
yeah,
on some good
and
bucks.
It's just, and one of the things, like, we just go grind it out, you know,
yep.
and I can't say we're, it's just one of those things. It's not like we're scouting out there all year. We go grind it out and we maybe sometimes shoot a little further than some of the local guys and we trim a little bit better shooting lanes. It's funny, like just that whole different mentality. Like the first year we went out, and the guys were giving Kip so much crap because he cut half the forest down. You know, because you climb up in a stand as a Western hunter, and you're like, well, I can only shoot 20 yards right here,
right,
you know?
Right.
If I go cut that tree down over there, I'm going to, and there's this balance of, you know, you can't just do that. And so it's been pretty funny and a fun dynamic to go out and learn about a new animal. And like first time I tried to blow on a grunt call at a whitetail, like, I don't know. I hope no one was nearby. I don't know what I'm doing, you know. But we've learned a lot over the years going out there, and it's become a passion. It's become a thing we love, and
it's awesome.
A different dynamic. So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, Matt, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on. This has been fun. It's been fun to bounce back and forth, and it was awesome to hear the story of that buck. What do you, before we wrap it up, what do you have for tags left in your pocket, number one? And number two, where can people find you and follow you and your adventures, man? Between you and Kip, you guys are always doing something. You guys are always somewhere. So give us a rundown on tags real quick and wrap us up with where can people follow you and find you.
Yeah, so I'm actually 2 weeks from yesterday. I'm heading on a bucket lister of mine. I'm going to British Columbia. Yeah. I always wanted to go on a drop-in backpack hunt for mountain goat. So
number one dream hunt of mine. That's my number one.
Bow. Yeah, I'm doing it in 2 weeks. Taking my bow only.
Yep.
Going to British Columbia, dropping in for 10 days.
Gosh, awesome.
Dropped in on a plane and living out of my pack for 10 days, and gonna see if I can arrow Billy. I've got a couple tags left in Montana. I've got an archery antelope tag and a deer tag up in Montana.
Nice.
After my goat hunt, if I can flip up there, I'll be pounding it late season on the front, trying to help Kip get a buck killed.
Awesome.
He's flying Wednesday to Alaska to chase a inland grizz, and then. So he'll be gone before I leave to BC, or I'll leave to BC before he's back. But after that, we'll be kind of bouncing up on the front, you know, if we can punch his deer tag at some point. And then we'll be heading out to Illinois in November to hunt whiteys.
Yep.
So that's kind of the lineup for the rest of the season right now.
Awesome.
Who knows what else might pop up, but those are the ones we're doing. As far as keeping track of what we're doing, we kind of keep things fairly updated on Instagram, and my handle's just matt.s.bateman, and Kip's at KipFowler8 if you want to check out and kind of follow along what we're doing the rest of the season. We just love it. We're just out there grinding and pounding and having a good time and chasing critters when we can, and it's been an absolute blast visiting with you this morning, and hopefully we touched on some things that are of value to anyone. But if not, we had a blast, and wish you the very best of luck coming out here. If you kill something, it's completely because of me and my motivation here.
That's right. That's right.
If you don't, I'm throwing it 100% on Devin.
So. That's absolutely it. It will be Devin's fault. Even if I'm solo, I'll find a way to make it his fault. His hair blew in the wind wrong.
Man,
I always joke with you. I'm like, you can't be smiling up there. Deer are going to see those white teeth from 3 miles away.
Yeah, jeez. Dude, you gotta put a little camel paint or something on those things.
I know. That's what I told him. We gotta blacken them out or something.
it's all in the boonie hat, dude. I'm telling you.
It really is. That's the ticket. I need to get one of those. Well, Matt, good luck, man. I'm super jealous, but yet super pumped for you on that goat hunt. That's a bucket lister, probably number one in my slot for me with a bow and dropped in like that. So, man, I'll be rooting you on. I'll be patiently awaiting a photo via text from you with you behind a big billy. I know you'll get an opportunity, and I know you'll make good of it. But, yeah, man, can't thank you enough for coming on. It's been a blast. Good luck the rest of the year, and we'll definitely keep each other updated.
Sounds good, Clint. Been a pleasure.
All right. Till next week, guys, you guys know what to do. Don't fucking settle. Thanks.
Can you say the letter C? CNC Hunt Files.